Today, what is God growing is what we're going to be talking about. Now, hopefully everybody here has an acorn. Do you have one? You have your acorn I gave you this morning? Okay, good. All right, now you're going to find out why you've got an acorn in your hand in a moment. So, what is God growing is the question. So what do you know about acorns? Let's do a little bit of a quiz here. What do you know about acorns? Amy? They're edible by humans if you boil them. Do you know why we need to boil them? Correct. They can be very high in tannins, which is not in itself poisonous, but too much can be. Squirrels actually can tell by sniffing them which ones are ripe and which ones have too much tannin in, and they don't eat the ones with too much tannin in. There you go. Right, what else do we know about acorns? Dundee? It's the name of what?
One of my kids' classes.
One of your kids' classes in primary school. What? Excellent choice by your school, by their school. Excellent. Acorns, okay. Lance?
When it grows into a mighty oak.
It can grow into a mighty oak. It can, that's right. Yes, anything else we know about acorns, Penn?
There are different types.
There are different types of acorns. You like to elaborate?
Yes. There's
English oak.
And there's a turkey oak.
Yeah,
turkey. And there's a red oak.
Red oak, yes. It's the national tree of the UK, but also Germany and the United States, amongst others. Grows in different varieties in a lot of different parts of the world. Anything else about acorns while we're at it? Penny, got another one? No? Okay. Anything else, Bill?
They used to be used for building ships.
They used to be used when the acorns...
Not the acorns, but the oak.
The oak tree that they come from. Okay, yes. We're used for building ships, that's right. Yeah, they are nuts. Okay, kind of an obvious thing, I suppose. They take between 6 and 24 months to mature on the tree before they fall and are ready to be eaten or to be sown, if you like, and germinate. They can be on the tree for up to 2 years, depending on the variety of the tree. 100 different species of wildlife feed on acorns, including weevils and things like that. They're very rich in fats, carbohydrates, and protein. Why don't we eat more of them, is the question, right? And you can, in ancient times, they were ground into make a kind of a flour to make bread or porridge or some kind of mush. And roasted acorns have been used as a coffee substitute in times of scarcity. Must have been very desperate, I must say. So where's mine? Hang on, I'll get mine. Okay, so when you look at this little thing, right? I mean, look, it's tiny, right? Some of them I gave out, they were really small. Some are a bit bigger than the one I have, but look at your own little acorn. Get it out for a second. Have a little look at it. I mean, just look at that little thing. I mean, what is it in a sense, what do we see when we look at this? What do we actually see? Are we seeing a seed, a nut, you know, and a seed inside the casing? Or are we seeing the potential for something much greater? Life, the mighty oak that Lance mentioned. Something that ultimately, from this, could provide shade for animals, bird life, human beings. Shade, shelter from a storm, strength in its wood, in ships and other things, perhaps for generations. What do we see? And the reason, you know, you can figure this out when being here today, that the reason we're looking at this and thinking about this is that too often, we think of ourselves as too small to make a difference, too small to have an impact. We do not grasp how magnificent the power of God is within us, for Him to do great things for His glory through us, to grow great things. And I wonder if God sees us as a little bit like this acorn. Something with great potential, something that can grow, that we can grow, church can grow, and His kingdom more broadly can grow. So today we're going to look at three things to do with growth. We're going to look at God's growth in us personally, in us congregationally, and in us in terms of his wider kingdom. So let's just look at a few things here. So we talked about acorns. The first thing we're going to be thinking about is, what is God growing in me? What is God growing in you? What is he actually doing? It is God that does it, right? 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 and 7. Paul says, writing to the Corinthians, he says, I planted, Apollos put the water on there, but God gave the growth. I like the translation there. He gave the growth, not just God grew the people, the situation, but God gave it. It's like a gift. God's growth to us is a gift to us. He gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Growth starts for us when God's word has been planted in us, God's truth. Just like an acorn has to be buried in order for it to ultimately grow, so our death to ourselves and our dying to ourselves, our immersion in Christ, our desire that we want to be like Jesus, we want to imitate, we want to follow, we put our own priorities on one side so that he can grow his agenda in us as we follow, as we strive to be humble before him, as we strive to surrender and trust. So here's a question I don't need answering, but just to ask maybe ourselves, is when we think about God's growth in us, do we feel God growing in us? Do we feel like God is at work in us? As we look back over, where are we, in September, the last 9 months or so, or maybe a year ago, do we feel like I've grown in the last year? Not self-effort, I'm not talking about self-improvement here, but has God been at work? Have you noticed? Have you cooperated with his work through humility and surrender so that his work can be done? So that we have a deeper faith, so we have a stronger love, more like Christ, a more ready and willing and eager obedience to him. Is that growing in us? Because this growth thing, I don't know about you, but you know, you don't tend to notice growth overnight. I mean, some of us with very small children, it does seem like day by day they grow. And especially over the summer holidays, which have just ended, sometimes a youngster at the beginning of the summer holidays looks very different from the youngster at the end of the summer holidays, because they seem to have grown twice the size in those summer months. But generally, growth doesn't come really quickly to us, right? We have moments of inspiration and clarity and understanding, but the growth takes time. Much like I said, these acorns may take 2 years before they're ready to be planted. In fact, the oak tree that these come from, the different kinds, but the oak trees need to be about 20 years old at least before they produce any significant number of acorns. And often it's more like 50 years. So it may take 50 years for an oak tree to get ready to produce significant numbers of acorns. You know, our faith doesn't grow sometimes quickly, but it will grow bit by bit if we pay attention to God's work in our lives. How do we do this? Well, one way is, I think, paying attention to what James says here in chapter 1. He says, rid yourselves of all sordidness. This is a slightly older translation. I like the old words. Get rid of the sordidness and the rank growth of wickedness. Doesn't sound good, does it? We don't want any of that in our kitchen. Scrub it off with something strong. A rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word. Right? It's been planted in us. That has the power to save your souls. So I have a question for you, all right? Here's a question for discussion. What does it mean to welcome the implanted word with meekness? What does that mean? What does that look like, right? So how can we welcome God's word with meekness? What does that look like? What do you think? It's been planted in us. We're here, right? God's word has been planted, but it's been planted, but is it being welcomed with meekness so that it can really grow in us? What do you think? What does it look like? What does it mean to welcome God's word with meekness? What do you think? Bruce?
I think for me, when it's difficult to digest, when it's challenging, it's not so welcoming, I have to kind of brace myself. So I would think if I was able to take it on more without any resistance.
Okay, a lack of resistance. Right, praying for a lack of resistance, especially when it's challenging to us. Yeah? Okay. Yeah, that fits. Yeah. David?
I think the same way is you need to understand that God's timing is not timing. He says that really is in God's eyes in like 1,000 hours or vice versa. So his timing is not timing. He can do things at any time, in any way. So you can't box God in and see that he can't stand and talk to you this way. You can reach in different formats, different people, different.
God's timing is not our timing. Can't box him in. The acorn doesn't choose when it leaves the tree to go to the ground, right? You know, God chooses the right time for us, the different things that happen to us, and test our faith and grow our faith through those times of testing, right? Anything else? What does it mean to welcome God's word with meekness? Yeah, Liesl.
I think I'm doing Duolingo at the moment, and I'm sure I've just got that position as well. Some days you just don't feel like doing it, but I want to learn something new. I think it's the same with God's word. You know, sometimes you just have to persevere in examining the scriptures and persevere in application.
You're in many ways learning to follow Christ is a bit like learning a language, because the language of the love of Christ and the life of Christ is foreign to us, you know, in our non-spiritual nature. So it's like kind of learning a new language, learning a new culture, and that takes some kind of determination and pushing ourselves, right? Much like learning a language. Yeah, that's a good point. Anything else?
I think when God's word's in you and you know enough to obey, you come up against something that is your old self and you want to react, which I have done and been in the place, and then I have to pull back and think, what would Jesus do? And I'll do that thing. And you know what? It isn't for me now. I might be tempted to do anything else. I don't find it so hard to do what Jesus
does. Over the years.
Over the years.
Over the years. Over the years. Over. I found out. Excuse me. No, you're not the same, right? No, and you two, I realized, talking to Pete this morning, you've been married 60 years. Wow. Yeah. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? That's wonderful. You're not the same people you were in many different ways, but, you know, as Christ grows in us, right? Grows things in us. It takes time, but we learn new habits and we become different people. God's word, welcomed with meekness, changes us, grows in us. And a lot of that is about, I think, just that consistency. Is I will devote myself to God's word, best I can, day by day, week by week, month, year, decade, and things change as we do that. Not that it's about just studying God's word, it's about finding Christ in God's word, of course. It's about him. Let's talk about a second thing. So what is God growing in us, all right, in this church, in his congregation? Now, we could have a long discussion about that, but I just want to pose some things for us to think about, perhaps pray about, because God is at work in individuals, but he's at work in his church. So what is he growing in us? Ephesians 4, speaking the truth in love. We must, and he's writing here to a church, we must grow up in every way into him, that's Christ, the head, from whom the whole body, that's the whole body is here, right? We've got arms and legs and ears and noses and feet and toes and everything here, right? We're the body. We're the whole body joined, knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped. As each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. Promotes the body's growth. All kinds of growth, right? Not just one kind. I mean, it's about maybe growth in numbers. It's about growth in unity, growth in love, growth in maturity, all kinds of areas of growth. But we do this as we work together, helping each other grow by the power of God working amongst us. The church grows in every sense when each part does its work. The one acorn becomes an oak tree that is a habitat for hundreds and hundreds of different species. In fact, thousands, which we'll come back to in a minute. And of course, multiple oaks grow into a forest, of course. And that is kind of a switch of the image perhaps there. So I think one thing for us to be praying about, and I'm not laying out any specifics here, but I think just it's something that we should be praying about. Like, what is God growing in us? And in what areas is he attempting to help us to grow that we might not be noticing or paying attention to or engaging with? What are we growing into? We've grown out of something. Where we are now, where is God growing us to? Or what is he growing us into? I think this should be part of our regular prayers, personally and collectively. And when we meet up to pray, like the guys met on Saturday morning, some of us to pray. And that's the kind of thing we should be praying about. God, where are you growing us into? What are you growing us into? And are we paying attention to this? You may remember this time last year, we had a congregational workshop with post-it notes and all kinds of things. It was fascinating and really interesting, and I very much enjoyed that. And that was the result of it all. And we took out some things from that to focus on, because we felt like God wanted us to focus on those things. And since that last year, 12 months ago, I think it was September last year, God has done things in this church. He's brought new people here, some to become Christians, some to join the church. We've had more young people become part of the church through people just coming along, through children growing and becoming different ages. And there's been shifts in children's ministry and the youth and the teens. We've got more people involved in ministering in different areas and serving within our congregation, not just on a Sunday, but in various ways. We've had a more variety of people speaking from the front like this and in different ways. I think that's something to celebrate and be grateful for. God is at work. We are not where we were 12 months ago. But where is God taking us? What is next? Every member has a part in that. Don't say, well, yeah, that's for the leadership team to figure out. The leadership team have no extra wisdom compared to anybody else, right? There's no special hotline to God. We all have a part to play in how we pray and how we serve and how we connect with one another, so that we have more branches, we have more roots interconnected and feeding in to help the whole body grow. That's how it works. There is more help needed with our youth. I would say that, you know, as our younger people are growing and getting older and they're maturing, we do need more people to be involved in children's ministry and the youth ministry. Perhaps we could engage more with young professionals in our church and encourage them. Maybe we could do more in terms of writing, writing articles for the Watford Word and different things like that. Perhaps somebody could organize the library, which we have burgeoning in our cupboard behind us, or that room behind me. Maybe we have some lonelier members who need someone to be a friend. I don't know all the needs, right? Only God does, but what do you see? What do you notice? When you pray, what does God bring to your mind? As we pay attention to those, we will strengthen the body and grow together. That's kind of just how it works. Church growth isn't very complicated, really. It's about paying attention to what God is doing and acting on it as we see God at work. So how is God working in you personally and me personally? How is God working, growing amongst us, growing things here? But also thirdly, how is God growing his kingdom? Now, the church is part of the kingdom, but the kingdom is bigger than just the church. Is his influence in the world around us? How is the kingdom effect spreading through us to make a difference? You may remember this parable. We haven't got time to unpack all of it today, but Jesus told this parable about the kingdom of God. This is what the kingdom is like. It's like a mustard seed. Now, an acorn is bigger than a mustard seed, but the same principle, right? The mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of the seeds. It's nothing significant. But when it grows up and becomes the greatest of all the shrubs and puts forth large branches, it becomes such that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Does anybody know what the birds of the air meant to someone of that period? What is kind of code language for something that a person in the time of Jesus would have known what that meant. You know what that means, anybody? It means the Gentiles. So in the way that Jewish people thought, the idea was the birds, it's from the Old Testament. The birds will come. It's like the people from all over the world will come. The Gentiles will come. So that's kind of what Jesus is alluding to here. God's kingdom starts small, but it grows large enough to bless the world. An oak tree supports more wildlife than any other tree species in this country. It supports up to 2,300 different species, not different things like birds, insects, but species. One oak tree. It's incredible. Insects, fungi, birds, mammals, plants, they're all associated with oaks. 2,300. One tree. That's all. It's amazing. So this acorn might seem insignificant, but it becomes a tree that produces more acorns. They grow into a forest and they are used for many things, as Bill mentioned. Bill recognizes HMS Victory down in Portsmouth. I grew up visiting that regularly because my parents are from that area. A mighty oak ship, Nelson's flagship, made of oak. Oak furniture to the top right, bottom left. I think they put that in there for Bill. Whiskey barrel. Yeah, especially for Bill. The contents you'll have to negotiate in the the barrel is right there. Well, that desk at the top left you won't recognize, but that's the oak desk that I used to sit at and do my homework when I was a teenager in my parents' house. I used to look out from there, and my whole room was made of oak. And made of oak timbers from ships, like old oak ships that had been dismantled, and they took the ship's timbers, the decking, the oak decking, and used it to make some flooring in my parents' house, not when my parents were there, but about 500 years ago, because that's how old the house is, full of oak beams. You know, oak is a very versatile material, and it can be used so widely in this world because it's surrendered. It's grown and it's surrendered, it's useful. The kingdom is like that. And as we people, kingdom people, go out into the world, we're a bit like that. Maybe you're a chair, maybe you're a flagship, maybe you're a whiskey barrel, maybe you're a desk, I don't know, but you're out there, you're making a difference in this world. If each of us took the sort of a kingdom acorn and took it and planted it in our community, you know, in your school, in your workplace, in your family, in your neighborhood, if we did that, what would grow around us? How would God get the glory from that? I've been encouraged, that I've seen, I think, more community engagement in our congregation than in the past. I think about the connections we have with the Watford YMCA now. I think about the connections we have with the hospice. I think about the connections with Cafe West, of course. I think about, I was talking to Lance about some ideas of involving Lance's, some training with Christians Against Poverty and that organization. Maybe we can get connected with that. That'd be really good. We have connections with New Hope, of course, through Bruce. And we've got a lot of these connections and many others. And I think that's wonderful and to be celebrated. And I pray and hope that we could do more and more of that kind of thing in the places we live and the places we go. You know, yesterday I spoke to somebody on the phone who I've not met before, but I kind of know who she is through a friend. And, you know, we're selling our car and she wanted to buy it. So we were chatting. And she's a Christian in Southeast London in a congregation there that we have connections with. And she was saying, I want to buy the car because I'm getting this new carer job and I need to go around from client to client doing the caring. And so, okay. And then we started talking about, I was encouraging her, that, you know, that's wonderful. As a Christian and a carer, you go and you're sharing the love of Christ with people. I mean, they're going to, you know, they're going to have a blessing from you because you're a Christian. And she said, yeah, but I'm not allowed to preach the gospel. You know, it's not, you can't do that. I said, but you are. She said, no, I'm not allowed to say anything about my faith when I'm... I said, but no, you are saying by who you are, by how you care, by being a Christian with that person, you are bringing the kingdom, you're bringing Christ to them. She's like, really? Oh, okay, I guess. I mean, I hadn't thought about that. I said, but yeah, but of course. That's what we all do when we're thinking that way. We're bringing the kingdom and Christ through who we are, not just by what we say. Yes, good to talk about our faith, but it doesn't have to be only that channel to bring the kingdom to people. And the final point on this, and then we'll wrap up, is that bringing the kingdom and seeing the kingdom grow out there and growing here and growing, it's a patience thing. You know, it does take time. It's not, these things don't grow rapidly. Even the mature oaks don't produce lots of acorns every year. Sometimes they have a year when they produce none or almost none. And then they have what are called mast years. I don't know why they're called mast years, but they have some mast years. And on a mature oak, in a mast year, an oak might produce up to 10,000 acorns. 10,000. Of those, on average, only one will become an oak tree. It's about one out of 10,000. Now, some will just rot away in the ground and be fertilizer, I suppose. Some will be food for animals, squirrels, and various other organisms. One will become a tree, but it continues. It goes on and on. God's timing, God's numbers, God's way. So can I encourage us with these thoughts and, you know, take this home. Take this home, put it somewhere where you'll see it. Think about it, maybe hold it in your hand when you pray. Ask God to water the acorn seed of faith in your life. Ask him to bring the increase and the growth for you, for the church, for the kingdom. It isn't just a seed, is it? It's a reminder of God growing things. And the lasting impact, we don't know. Some oaks in this country are 1,000 years old. Some oak trees are 1,000 years old. Like they were growing when the Normans invaded. I mean, it's mind-boggling, right? But you just being that one acorn, you could have a multi-generational impact you'd never have any idea about. In fact, you wouldn't believe if someone told you. One acorn, one seed of faith, so much can be done. And you say, well, that's not me. I don't have that faith. That's totally fine, because it's God who does it. I am confident of this, that the one who began the good work, began the good growing, implanted the word in you, the one who began it, that good work among you personally and in the church and in his kingdom, the one who did that, which is God, will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. Whatever complete looks like for you, God's work in you, God will do that if you surrender as the acorn and let him grow in you. Just grow his word implanted in you. Grow in you. Grow in his church. Grow in his kingdom. This can be done because God is the one who does it. So I hope and pray that thinking about the acorn is useful for you. Take it home. Pray about it. And let's see what God does. We're going to take bread and wine now.
Thank you, Malcolm, for the message. And I pray that, Heavenly Father, this message that we've heard about a little acorn is actually going to sow the seed of wisdom in our heart. And we're going to go out into the world. And through our actions, through what we say, and how people perceive us, that we are going to become that mighty oak tree that is going to attract people to come and nest under us, O Lord, because that's very much the only way by which your word, which you gave us through the gifts of your one and only Son that died for us and all for us, you know, more than 2,000 years ago. And right till this moment, we are still talking about it. We are still celebrating it. We are very much grateful for you, Father Lord, constantly looking out for us all the time. As we're about to share the bread and the wine, to remind ourselves of the body as well as the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. I pray that your word will actually, which is a seed, is going to be planted in our heart as we go out into the world today. In your Son's mighty name, I pray. Amen.